Thankful for this time. We have a lot of different types of services and camp meeting and revival time and Sunday morning, and there's testimony night, Wednesday night, it's missionary night, hear about mission fields. But to me, this service is the sweetest. And you can hear a message and things that touch our heart. But when we take the time to sit and reflect and to have a, I don't like to really use the word memorial so much, because that's as if something that's happened that isn't still happening. But a memorial in a sense to what Christ did on our behalf. Donnie mentioned it a little bit in the time of remembrance of taking this time to reflect and look back. There's not a lot of ordinances or rituals or things that we have to follow through as the Church of God and followers of Christ. There's aren't a bunch of feasts or things that we have to keep in place to keep everything as it should be. But He did counsel us and He instructed us, and we find that Paul, and also when he was talking to the church in Corinth, that this is something that we want to do on an occasional basis. And I'm actually kind of glad it's not something we do every weekend or even once a month, because this is a special time. And we go through different periods in our life, and sometimes I think about camp meeting and thinking about how it was the year before, and just almost kind of like a barometer of how we're doing and what the Lord's been doing in our life. And but it comes to ordinance service every time, it's kind of like coming back to center again. It's coming back to remembering what this is about and what Christ did on our behalf. This is the opportunity. Well, I'll think of it this way. Christ filled a place that no one else could fill. And you think of all the sacrifices that went on before, and the lambs and different things and the blood that was shed. But none of those things could accomplish the final work of what Christ did on our behalf. And He was the only one that could fill that position. It was only His blood and His body that could provide the sacrifice that we could be reconstituted and brought back to a close relationship with God. There's no other source. There's no other person. There's nothing else that you could search the world or the spiritual world. There's nothing out there, but only Christ can fill that place. And what I find was very moving was as He saw His time had come. He knew the hour had come. And He told His disciples to go and find the upper room and made some preparations. They had to prepare. He told them, go and prepare the feast. But He already had the room prepared for them. He said, go and talk to this master of the house and tell him you have need of this upper room. But He wanted to create a time that He could sit down with His closest followers and allow them to participate in what only Christ could do for us. To allow us to enter in to the sacrifice of what He was doing on our behalf, to fellowship it, to embrace it, to make it a part of our life. Jesus met and talked with a lot of people when He walked on the earth and came in contact with a lot of folks. Many people even believed that He preached to, and there were healings and there were multiple miracles. But I find that this is a very personal time. And even in our service here, we're a collective group, but it's a very personal time to come and spend with Christ, to remember what He did on our behalf and allowed us to come and to be a part of that. To embrace it, to fellowship, to take that and say, I accept that, And I want to follow in that same line of what you did on my behalf. He set the example. And you would think of a Lord or someone that would fill this role and would kind of lord over those that maybe he had filled that place for. But we find Christ brought them close and encouraged them to be a part of what he was about to go through. And his time in the garden there and wanting their support to pray with him and to carry that burden with him, that call has not changed. And as we continue our lives and endeavor to live for him, the call is still to come with him a little farther. The call is still to enter in with him into the close places, into the times when there is great sweat, when there is times of great commitment and consecration. There's still the call to come a little further. And in this service, we make that declaration that I'll follow you. I'll be a part of this. I accept the sacrifice. And there is a testimony in this service. We don't have a writ that says whether someone is in the Church of God or not. There's no membership role. There's not something that we keep a list on and you have to come and we have to write your name. But there is a declaration in this service to say I'm taking part and I'm accepting, that I'm a part of him, that I'm following him. It's part of why Paul in Corinth said that if you did this and you did it wrongfully, that's a bad place to be in. That if you're going to participate, it's because I'm accepting and I'm willing to follow, that I'm a part of this, that you're my Savior, that the sacrifice that you made, that I want to be a part of that. It's part of why this is such a personal service, even though there's a lot of us here. But to me, as sometimes you sit there in the pew or as you take the bread or take the juice, there's a personal connection. It's just regular bread. I mean, it's regular ingredients. We don't have some secret source of grain that's used. It's just regular juice bought from the store. But it represents something that's very deep and very personal. In my life, I've experienced this relationship and this closeness. So when I take of the body and what it represents, I'm a part of his body. I'm participating in that. I'm accepting that. And it means something more than just a service. It's our life. It's all that we have. The disciples, when they were called to follow Christ, they had to leave families, jobs. They left a lot of things behind, and their identity became the followers of Christ. That became who they were. It became the foundation of their life. And part of this is represented in the blood. Paul, in Corinthians, he mentioned it also, I believe, that the bread is made of many parts, yet it's one bread. We lose our identity somewhat when we follow Christ and we make him the focus and the denominator of our life. We enter in and become of something that's much bigger, something that's much greater. Hard to put into words sometimes what it means to be part of something that is that great. When we truly start to comprehend and think of what the body of Christ is and the scope of that body, of who put it in place, the price that was paid for that body to be in place, the fellowship that was bought by his blood, the bringing together, the following of him, of laying it down all that we have, of sacrificing, just as he did, to enter in and make that a part of us, to make it all of us. The disciples, they lost their individual. Maybe they were once a fisherman, but now they're a follower of Christ. Maybe one was once a tax collector, but now he was a Christian. He was a follower of Christ. He was a part of the body. It doesn't mean we don't have our jobs and our places, but the most important aspect is this body that we've become a part of. Think of when Jesus was there in the upper room and had to have known the scope of the time that had come. But I believe he looked into each one of those men's eyes and saw them and knew who they were. He knew every aspect of them. He knew the strengths. He knew the weaknesses. He knew the needs in their life. And we find that it was the love of Christ that drove him to continue on as he faced the difficulty of laying down his life and making the sacrifice that he did. It was because of his love and what he knew of the needs that we have. And as we accept this and we make it a part of our lives, it is with that same love and acceptance of what God has done for us. It boils up inside of us. And he knew me. He knows me. He still knows me. He's still working on me. There's still places that he's raising up and other places he's bringing down. But it's only through this avenue, it's only as we accept this and follow through on it, that we can find those places. So this afternoon, this morning, as we continue on in this service and talked about the remembrance, Paul said that to do this, to remember his death until he comes, take a moment and look into the eyes of your Savior and thank Him for what He's done in your life. Remember and think of the impact of the sacrifice, laying down His life and empowering you to live a different life, to wash old things away and to bring new life, to meet the needs that we have. Don't think about anyone else. This service is not a ritual that we do. You could leave here and not do it, and it wouldn't necessarily affect. In other words, if you had to work this morning, it's not like you had to be here. But there is an experience or a blessing that comes from partaking in just you and God, you and Jesus, looking into His eyes and accepting and thanking what He's done for us, honoring Him for the sacrifice that was paid. I thought of His blood. Blood to me is an amazing thing. It has so many characteristics to it. And some of the thoughts the Lord brought to my heart dealt with that somewhat. It's not lost on us the scope of what blood does in the body, its purpose that it has. Blood is the life source. Without it, you can't live. You can live with one lung. They can put an artificial lung in you even. But if there's not blood flowing through your body, there's no life. And this sacrifice, and when we partake of the blood of Jesus and we accept that, we're accepting the life source of our Christian experience. The very source of life. Without the blood, there is no life. When blood goes through the body and you breathe in and there's oxygen, it takes that oxygen and takes it to all the cells in your body, brings it everywhere and distributes it. It brings life. And then it takes the carbon dioxide and it brings it back out again, cleanses it out. When there's an injury, it's the blood that goes and cleanses that injury, starts cleaning out the infection and fights those places. The blood is what scabs over and creates a protection, so that healing can begin. It's blood that brings the hormones to different parts of your body that promotes growth and promotes life. In every aspect of our experience, we find that the blood of Jesus brings the healing. It brings the cleansing. It keeps out the infection in the places where I've been hurt. It goes in and it makes straight. It's life source. It's a life source. It brings with it something that you can't create or manufacture. Man can't create blood. They have to get it from other people. Blood brings that life source. It's no wonder then when Jesus was hanging on the cross and they pierced His side and it said the fountain. It was like the fountain was open. We sing that song. The blood began to flow, And it's still flowing today. There's so much power. Sometimes we can see some of the difficulties and challenges of this life, and we see some of the works of the enemy out there. Rest assured of the power of this blood, that it can meet the need of every heart, of every affliction, of every sickness, of those places of hurting. This is the life source. So this morning, as you partake of the juice and you take that in somewhat in faith also, a belief of what this is and what it stands for. Again, it's just regular juice. But there's a testimony as to what that blood has done in our lives, in the places where we live. And there's hope in that blood also for those that we care about and those that need that. There are different memorials that you can find if you travel around the country, and a lot of times they'll have inscriptions and things that talk about what the memorial is about and why it was erected or why it was put in that place. There's not a lot of words that we can put forward that do justice to what this service means. But in your heart, there is a confirmation and there is a spirit of fellowship with Christ that no words can express. The appreciation, the understanding, the honor, the realization of where I am without Him. I don't think the disciples fully understood the scope of what was occurring at that time. Not able to grasp the timelessness of this event. The sacrifice that was being made for men from the beginning all the way to the end. I don't think they fully understood it. But we sit in a time that we can look back. And we would be at a loss to try to inscribe the words and to come up with some eloquent quote as to encapsulate what this means. But the Spirit bears witness in our heart. It fills us with words that we can't utter of appreciation and honor to an almighty King who laid down His life on our behalf. We enter into that this morning. We partake of it. In Matthew, in the 26th chapter, the 17th verse here. Just like to read the account here. It says, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto Him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And He said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. The disciples did as Jesus had appointed them. They made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, He sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, He said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray Me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto Him, Lord, is it I? And He answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with Me in the dish, the same shall betray Me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of Him, but woe unto that man to whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed Him, answered and said, "Master, it is I." And He said it unto him, "Thou sayest." 26th verse says, "Thou hast said." 26th verse says, "And they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is My body. And He took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom." I'm reminded of, in the Old Testament, there was a blessing that God pronounced on the seed of Abraham who went all the way down through Christ. And this blessing was pronounced from the Father to the Son. Abraham blessed Isaac. Isaac blessed Jacob under unique circumstances, and on and on. And I find this is a special blessing that Jesus prayed here. At least it is to me. To bless the bread, to bless the communion, and the acceptance that was there. I think it was more than just like we pray for our food. We say, Lord, bless this food to our body, and we continue on. But this was a special blessing that he was praying on the communion with his disciples. Take of this body I have laid down that I have given. And he said the cup, he gave thanks of it also. Drink ye all of it, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. A testament is something that bears record of something that has gone on. We have in the Bible the Old Testament and the New Testament. The testament of something that is living, that has existed. This blood is the testament of something that is living and is alive. Which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I was thinking of the role that Christ filled in his place when he became and entered into the holiest of holies. It was through his blood and through this sacrifice that he could enter into the place, that he could make intercession. One scripture says they looked and said, who could open the book? Who was worthy? Who could fill this place? This blood fills that place. It's the cure. It fills the need. It fills the position. It meets the requirement. There is a requirement. It's not something that is that you can find any other solution for. There is a requirement and an expectation, and this blood meets and fills the expectation that is needed. The formula is right. It fills and it meets. That those and us in our time when we were in sin, the mistakes and failures, the evil and the darkness, this is the source. This is the solution that cleans and wipes those away. The enemy uses doubt to hold people down quite often. He uses, we call them ghosts, doubts and fears. It's one of our songs. This blood, you have to have confidence in. You have to believe that it has cleansed and it is able to restore and make new the places where it's applied, of where it's brought in. That's our testimony. It's our testimony this morning as we partake of this, is we have a confidence and a faith that we can stand before God because of this blood, because of its effectiveness, because of the solution, and that it meets the requirement. It says here in this place that Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that you've given us to gather together, to worship you, Lord, to honor you in this place. Lord, there is a blessing in our fellowship together, in partaking of this together with you, Lord. And we ask you that you'd bless this bread, that you bless the testimony that it is to us, to our entering in to your body, to being a part of it, Lord. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made. We thank you, Lord, for the provision that you made on our behalf. Lord, we recognize that there is no other way that we could enter in, that there's no other way that we can find the solutions and the answers to our life, Lord. We honor and thank you, Lord, this morning for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And he took the cup and he blessed it also. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the blood of your sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, for the power that comes for the remission of our sins. Lord, we thank you for the change that you brought in our life, Lord. We thank you for this sacrifice. Lord, without it, we would be without life. We'd be without hope, Lord. We'd be without your peace. We'd be without all of the great manifold of blessings that you provided us, Lord. It starts right here. We thank you, Lord, for your blood. And we ask you that you'd bless this cup. Lord, that you would put a blessing on this assembly. In this time and in this service, Lord, that you will inspire and encourage each heart, Lord. As they look to you, that you will witness and minister to each one of let them, each one, feel the love of what you've done for us, Lord, individually. Let us remember, Lord, what the places that you brought us from, the pit that you brought us out, Lord. The witness of what this ordinance means and what you did on our behalf. Lord, we ask that you bless us to our body, to our spiritual body, Lord, to our spiritual mind, that you'd energize us. That you'd inspire us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.